Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. The Apostle Peter used the common word for lust in the following verse. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. When we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, reveling, banqueting, and abominable idolatry. 1 Peter 4:3. The Greek word translated lust in our text appears in one form or another in the New Testament 55 times. The verb form of the word is rendered either to lust after or to desire, depending on the context. The noun is translated lust, desire, and concupiscence. Why did the translators make this distinction in their versions of the New Testament? When the word epithumia referred to legitimate longings or wants, the word is rendered desire. When the word applied to the forbidden, it is translated lust. Our Lord used both the noun form and the verb form of the word in the following passage. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Luke 22:14-15. Paul used the word in this verse, For I am in a strait between two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Philippians 1:23. Most of the time in the New Testament, both the verb and the noun are translated lust. For example, Peter encouraged his first century readers and us not to live any longer in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. 1 Peter 4:2. Paul reminded the Corinthians of the ungodliness of the Israelite people. He then observed, Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. 1 Corinthians 10:6. Both Peter and Paul were urging the early Christians not to live as they had lived while they were Gentiles. The same admonitions are sorely needed by Christians in every age. Most Christians know how easy it is for us to become entangled with the world and to allow the world to dictate our thoughts and our behaviors. That was Paul's reason for saying to the Romans, Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12:2. The Apostle John has provided us with what one gospel preacher called a definition of worldliness, although technically that is not correct. John does give great insight into what constitutes worldliness. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he who does the will of God abides forever. 1 John 2:15-17. Many of us may be tempted to think of lust as it applies only to sexual appetites. That is the meaning of the expression, the lust of the flesh. But the lust of the eyes is just as much a part of worldliness as is the lust of the flesh. The lust of the eyes covers such sins as covetousness, extortion, and greed. Lust for material possessions can just as easily destroy God's people as sexual promiscuity. And so can the pride of life, or the vainglory of life. How tragic when God's people are more interested in the world's estimate of them than in God's estimate of them. Did you notice that John said, The world passes away and the lust thereof, but he who does the will of God abides forever. My friends, I encourage you to do the will of God that you may live eternally. Thank you and may God bless you.